This is James Jude Courtney. I'm the new Michael Myers, and you're listening to the Epic Film Guys podcast. Thanks for being here, guys.
I figured you were going to come in
there. Yummy, mummy, and a yummy in my tummy.
Yummy.
I'm mommy. Back on the show.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another brand new episode of the Epic Film Guys podcast, joined by the yummy mummy, apparently.
Just found this information out. We talked about it in the patron-only segment.
Amazing.
That the Hopester must have been the voice actor that voiced Yummy Mummy in the Yummy Mummy Monster cereal commercials in the late 80s, because his voice is uncanny.
Rudy, yummy, mummy, make your tummy go yummy.
It's got to be him, when that's obviously when the cereal stopped being made, is when he went on his 25-year bender, which is where he still is now. So
that is true.
Yeah.
Very, very true. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the Epic Film Guys podcast, deep, deep in the bowels of October, of horror month. We hope that you're having a scarific,
terrorific would be much better.
Get out of here.
Scarific.
Get the fuck out.
Terrorific.
Because I, of course, am Nick.
And I'm Justin. And if you haven't yet heard of my name, well, you will.
A huge, 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 huge thank you to Sean from the Stories of Your Newest podcast for stepping in really at the very last moment for last week's show. It was a lot of fun. I actually did get a chance to listen to his show in the interim, and wonderful show. He reads old stories and he puts like sound effects and like voice effects and all sorts of different stuff. He shows videos of himself on Twitter making his own homemade sound effects, which is really, really great. I love doing that. I don't do it enough because I don't really have the opportunity. I don't really need homemade sound effects for a lot of stuff, but it's really, really great watching.
Yeah, that's
the
old school way of doing it. So that's amazing.
Big, big shout out to director Brennick, of course, our good friend from Netflix and Swill, because he was actually on Dan's show. And when I found out he was available, you know, because he had volunteered, I messaged Dan. I was like, Dan, how'd your recording for Netflix and Swill go? And he was like, oh, he's great. He's awesome. Get him on the show. So had him right in, and it was a blast. Absolutely wonderful time. So thank you very much, Sean. We really, really appreciate you filling
in. Thanks so much for filling in. Yeah, man.
And Justin, last week, why weren't you here? I was alone.
I was off gallivanting around in the movie world. I had an awesome opportunity. The sauce was the one who was gallivanting
last week.
Well, the sauce is always gallivanting.
Man.
I saw Damien Chazelle's First Man starring Ryan Gosling, the story of Neil Armstrong, the first man to walk on the moon. And I don't want to give too much away right now. I know we did do a video about another movie I'll talk about in a few moments on our YouTube channel, but I saw it by myself with my buddy Joe, which is actually, he's actually from Binghamton. He moved down here a little under a year ago, and I invited him because I know he's a really big Damien Chazelle fan, but he's not like a podcaster. So when I say alone, I mean no one that could come on to talk about it with me. So my first reaction to the movie is it's a lot different than what you're used to from Chazelle. If you didn't know he made the movie, yeah, you wouldn't even know it. And he's definitely going out of his comfort zone to make something totally different. The movie on many occasions had me in tears. It is Gosling's, I would say most definitely his career best performance in my opinion.
Wow.
The Claire Foy is absolutely brilliant in it, and all of the space stuff is absolutely just mind blowing. Like I said in the patron only segment, and I know all the commercials say this, Nick, and I hate throwing it your way because I know the market that you live in. But if you do have an IMAX, if you have a real IMAX or a fake IMAX or whatever you have available, if there's something you can see this movie on a large format with good sound, seeing it for the space scenes alone, it's totally worth it. Because that's really what you're there for, is to see the man finally walk on the moon and see all the space stuff. So definitely thrilling, but I don't want to get too deep into it other than that. So definitely recommending you see it opening weekend. It hits theaters this weekend. I think it's a movie, Nick, that everyone should be seeing, regardless. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I can't wait to talk about it next week on the show. Dina Marie from the Twisted Philly podcast is going to be rejoining us. She was here last year, and she's bringing two more horror movies to the plate, two more films I've never seen. Justin definitely has, because he's seen everything, and we're going to talk about those. And if she wants to check out First Man, hopefully she will, and it'd be great to have her in on that conversation as well, if only because I really want to talk to Dina, especially about the flag bullshit. Oh, I can't wait to get into that next week. But that's all spoilers for next week.
I mean, I do want to say something about that. I've been holding back on
that. We'll talk about
it.
We'll talk about it.
Oh, God damn it. Let's just make it clear. I'll just say this, and this isn't a spoiler. The movie's about Neil Armstrong. That's what the movie's about. It's not about America. It's not about NASA.
It's about
Neil Armstrong. There it is.
So I can't wait. I can't wait to talk about all that stuff next week. But we've got a packed, and I mean a packed, show for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Aside from checking in on our horror challenge, which we've got a lot of people. It is the 8th of October, Justin, right now as we record this. There are people who have more than doubled the date right now in terms of movies. I think Gerald is like 19. Jared Taylor's like 15.
Corey Wade's like
75.
Higher.
Yeah, Corey's
Scott LaVar, he's the reason, because he challenged Corey last year.
That's right.
And he challenged him again. I saw in the dumpster in our fan group, the Hopester's Dumpster, I saw him personally challenge Corey. Like, I think you can get to, like, what was it, 99 movies or something? Yeah. And he was like, challenge accepted. And so far, he's been destroying it. And Corey is like, literally, he's been listening to the show a lot. He's not very vocal about it.
We love
hardcore
you, Corey.
Cinephile. And, dude, I know how he watches movies, and he'll do it. So, Scott, thank you for challenging him, but thank you also for making all the rest of us look like shit. But hey, no one looks as bad as Nick looks right now, because I just saw him watch Saw the other night. Like, what? Saw? That's all you've watched?
My second horror film.
I know you watched Nosferatu.
I purposely... Well, I didn't even watch Nosferatu in October, so I can't count it, though. The first one I watched in the month was The Exorcist, which, again... Two girls on a bench joined us, and that's going to be dropping as part of this whole huge...
Oh, that was so much fun.
All the horror collaboration. Yeah, it was a great, great recording. Can't wait for you guys to hear that. We talked for about an hour about William Friedkin's The Exorcist, which it turns out I watched the extended cut, and I didn't even realize it, or the director's cut.
I mean, I asked you before we recorded. I said, which version am I watching tonight? Which version are you watching so I know which version? Because you'll hear on the episode which one I prefer. I'm watching the regular version. So we get down into the discussion, and like halfway through it, I'm talking about the differences between the original cut, the original theatrical, and then the director's cut. And Nick's like, oh, I watched the director's cut. What, the spider walks in it? Oh, yeah, I watched that one.
I didn't even know.
So I watched the theatrical version.
I didn't even know. But it was a lot of fun. And speaking of a lot of fun, Nosferatu, Derek from Work Life and Balance and Jason and Trish from Invasion of the Remake joined me. Like, very few times recording with guests have I had that much fun on a show. They were absolutely amazing. Derek's laugh is infectious as hell. Like, he literally just kept laughing so much at everything. We made so much fun of that movie, but we also paid it, I think, its due respect, because it is an iconic masterpiece of horror. Murnau's 1922 silent just masterpiece. It's an incredible, incredible film. So if you have not checked that out, we fan cast a remake of Nosferatu with actors from The Room. It happens. And it was fun. I added Tommy Wiseau and Greg Sestero on Twitter. I was like, what's it going to take to get a Nosferatu remake with Greg Sestero and Tommy Wiseau? It's public domain. It's got to be like super cheap to get the rights to do it or something.
According to what The Saw said after his escapades hanging out with Greg Sestero and Tommy Wiseau, it's hard to get Tommy Wiseau out of his, you know, out of his coffin at night. He doesn't like to come out and do anything. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure he'll come on shortly and tell us all about his adventures hanging out in Hollywood
at
the premiere of Best Friends Volume 2. But as of right now, he's just busy. I think he's hosting Little Shop of Horrors tonight. So that's why he's busy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time, I think, to head over into a time-honored segment here on the Epic Film Guys podcast. I'm not talking about the booze segment, Justin. I'm talking about our horror challenge check-in.
It's time, ladies and gentlemen, for your 2018 Horror Challenge weekly check-in. Head over to the Epic Film Guys Facebook group to check in your movie picks. Think you can scare up the courage to watch 15 horror films? Pleasant screams.
Justin designed an amazing new shirt. And Justin, tell us where the proceeds to those shirts go. If you buy an Epic Film Guys horror t-shirt all month long, where are we sending that money?
That money is going to Second Chances Wildlife Rehabilitation Center. These people, these amazing people, these animals have been removed from their homes, or they've been injured, and they need a place to be rehabilitated and assisted back into the wild. Or there are some animals, Nick, that actually have been injured so badly that they no longer can live in the wild, so they are required to live in captivity the rest of their lives. So
I've read that they make them ambassadors or whatever, like animal ambassadors, which I think is really, really nice. And it's, you know, yes. They don't euthanize the animals. They build a habitat for them and, you know, they keep them alive and things like that in captivity, which I think is really, really, really amazing. It's an amazing cause. Thank you very much for picking it.
Yeah, definitely. Like right now, they have a beaver. His name is JB, also known as Justin Beaver. And they got enough proceeds last month from donations where they are actually now building JB a dam so he can become a regular beaver. He can learn, you know, not just to fool around in the house and try to make a dam in the house where he lives, but he can actually be out in the wild and try to build a dam like a normal beaver does. So it's all about just trying to help the animals and, you know, realize and understand that they are a very important part of our lives on this planet, and they deserve help too, wherever needed.
Yeah. So please, 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 again, head over to redbubble.com/people/epicfilmguys. Link is down in the show notes, and pick yourself up a horror t-shirt all month long. And again, all the proceeds will go to that amazing, amazing charity. And we've also got, ladies and gentlemen, 3x3 horror magnets. Everybody who does the horror challenge is going to be getting some of these bad boys. Justin, I might send one, and I'm just going to be giving the rest away.
I hate you.
All month long, I'm just going to be giving the rest of them away. I love Sticker Mule because Sticker Mule always has these awesome sales where they will just hand over fist give away stuff or give huge discounts. These were $50 off. Amazing. $50 off. So I'm really, really, really glad that I was able to pick these guys up, and going to be making it rain magnets all in you guys. So if you want a Halloween film reel, number one, take part in the horror challenge, or I'm just going to be giving them away. Also, on the docket to be given away for the horror challenge, another copy of Emily's book, The Story Behind, which I believe are set to release in a little over a week now. A little over a week. Going to be amazing. Cannot wait to get that. And we're going to be giving away at least one more copy of that before the end of the month. We really, really appreciate everybody that's been doing the horror challenge. Ashley's been checking in a lot of picks over there, which is really, really awesome. I think she's up to like 10 or something like that. Like I said, Jared Taylor, Corey Wade, Scott LeVar, The Sauce, who's been checking in. He's up there. He's got a few in there. You're up there. You're over 10 now, I think.
Yep.
I don't know. And I have 2.
You'll get there. You'll get there. You will get there.
I'm going to keep watching.
You will find a
way.
You
know how I am. I love my Saw movies. I've got to watch them every year, so I'll watch at least the first 3. I watched the first one last night. I've still got Halloween to come in the theaters, so that's at least one more movie I'll watch. It's really sad that I have to be like, yeah, I'm going to watch this movie, this movie. I got those 2 movies for Dina Marie I'm going to watch for next week. I've got lots of time.
Yeah, but I want to tell you the truth, though. There's one thing that I didn't spoil it in our spoiler-free reaction video of the new Halloween, but I'm going to ruin this for you right now. Halloween isn't a horror movie, Nick. It's a love story. It's a romantic comedy.
Damn it.
So you can't add that one to your
count list.
No, sorry. The whole time Michael Myers and Laurie Strode are just going out on dates and trying to reconcile the events of 1978 and trying to work things out.
I knew those trailers were
fall
misleading.
Back in love.
I knew it.
Yeah, really, like probably the most misleading trailers ever.
Knew it. God damn it. And now, ladies and gentlemen,
it's time
for that time-honored tradition. And of course, Justin, I am talking about what are you drinking?
I'm back! Puke and rally! Yeah. Woo!
Don't you ooh. You're not allowed to ooh. Get out of here.
Ooh.
Spooky. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pitch it over to my friend Justin first. I got to know, what have you got pouring into your pecker liquor this evening?
I done told you earlier, I went and looked all over for this here beer. I was out shopping, went to Wegmans, went to Whole Foods, could not find this beer, which I drink every year. And I went to the wine and beer store and I found it. I am talking about Two Roads Brewing Company's Rhodes Mary's Baby. You claim you've had this beer.
I have.
Yes, this is a pumpkin yam beer, traditional pumpkin ale. It's aged in rum barrels. And it's got notes of pumpkin, spices, vanilla. Of course, there's vanilla bean and a touch of rum, which you can definitely taste the rum. It's not as good as it was last year, but whatever. It comes in cans, and I like drinking beer out of cans more than I like drinking out of bottles. So it's that. I would drink it again next year, and I definitely plan to do that. But I gotta ask you.
Jesus. Get that looked into.
I'm trying to pretend I'm you over here.
I have not been doing the breathing issues have actually been doing pretty good this week so far, actually. So
that's good. That's good. Very good.
What do you have guzzling down your gullet to this evening?
Well, and I'm super sad that this is my last one of these as well. But this, Justin, shout out to Tom Co. of Jake and Tom Conquer the World, because he gets to go to the Founders Brewery all the time because it's out in Michigan and I hate him for it. But ladies and gentlemen, this is Founders Dank Wood. And Justin, you want to talk about a mouthfeel. Wow. Crickets. I didn't even hit it on the soundboard.
No, I had to look it up. I swore I had this beer. You mentioned this beer to me, and I swore that it was at I was at Alamo one night, and someone had it, and I tried it, but I probably didn't check it in. So mouthfeel? Well, was that late? Was that too late?
It was too late. No, too late. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is an Imperial Red IPA aged in bourbon barrels. This clocks in at a whopping 12.2%, and it is exactly what the title promises, dank wood. It's immediately right up front, super dank, super heavy hoppiness right on the palate. As soon as it hits your mouth, it's got that bourbon flavor, that kind of oakiness that kind of starts to come in at the back end, and it just stays heavy. Heavy mouthfeel is the term that I want to use for this, but it is fan-fucking-tastic. I absolutely love this beer. Probably mouthfeel? Not quite as much. It's way too late. What am I supposed to do with that?
I'm sorry, I'm a little off. Can't you just edit it and put it where it needs to go?
I'm gonna in the middle of the Venom review, all of a sudden there's gonna be mouthfeel. I put it in the wrong place. But yeah,
I mean,
is just an incredible beer. Like I said, heavy on the palate. It's very, very heavy on the palate. You have to love dank, hoppy bitterness that basically sits with the whole palate, like the whole way through the sip, top to bottom. If you do, this is what you got to try. This, Justin, is kind of, and I know we've been doing a lot of New Englands and a lot of sessions, a lot of lighter, more IPA kind of stuff. This is basically like, this reminds me, you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of Bourbon Barrel Aged Double Bastard that Stone does. It's kind of similar to that because it's just so heavy. And you get those oaky, like, strong, strong, dank flavors in it. It's just incredible.
Wonderful.
Jesus.
I have to mention.
You're fired.
I have to remind them. Well, yes, the Big G comes to theaters next year. But if you have not had an opportunity yet, the Sauce and I did have a chance to see David Gordon Green's Halloween.
Lies.
It happened.
I don't remember this.
There's a whole story about it. There's a whole story about it. And if you're interested in checking out our spoiler-free reaction video, I want to get it in now. Because I know a lot of you probably won't listen to Venom. I don't know. It's dividing fans and critics and everybody. So if you are interested in checking out our spoiler-free reaction, again, I mean completely spoiler-free, go to our YouTube channel. We have one. It's youtube.com/epicfilmguys. It's making waves right now in the YouTube world, and I'm super pumped about it, but I just want to let you know, if you're interested, check that shit out. I'm not going to talk about it on the show until Nick gets a chance to see it, because that's not fair to him. I mean, I do that to him every single week, and it's just really not fair.
It could dethrone, Justin. It could dethrone our longstanding top viewed video of all time on YouTube.
It is,
Transformers Age of Extinction review, where we got a whole bunch of death threats because we didn't like a Transformers movie.
Yes, it is currently our highest played video on YouTube. And I think right now, based on what I'm seeing with the Halloween reaction, it's doing very well. It already took over the James Jude Courtney interview, the new Michael Myers interview. So we'll see what happens. But I appreciate everyone for listening and of course, watching that video, and check it out if you're interested.
Really, really do. So thank you very, very much for that. And thank you, everybody, that has made the James Jude Courtney interview, as far as the podcast goes, a smash success. Dwarfing a lot of our recent episodes in downloads. Really, really nice. Although it'd be nice to see that have like a rippling effect, like on the episodes before and after it, but it doesn't seem to have. It seems like a lonely mountain, like on our stats sheet. Now it's just like this lonely mountain in the middle of it, like way up there.
The way that I look at it, if we got one or two or three new subscribers or followers out of it, for me,
it's all worth it.
That's cool. Welcome. It's all worth it.
Welcome to you guys. Anybody here who is checking us out because of the James Jude Courtney interview, welcome. We love you. Thank you very, very much for being here. Thank all of you. And Justin, I want to mention this here before we run into break, because you reminded me of it, actually. We have hit 100 reviews over on Apple Podcasts.
Really?
100. We're still aiming for 125 by the end of the year. Remember, we're giving away a whole bunch of Visa gift cards, $25 Visa gift cards. So if you're listening to the show, if you have not reviewed the show, head over to Apple Podcasts and please leave us preferably a 5-star review. If you want to be 2 stars, fuck the Hobster. He's a piece of shit. I hate that guy. He shows up at my house all the time when he stinks. We understand. We'll get it. But as soon as we get to 125 reviews in the U.S. Apple Podcast Store, we'll be giving away a whole bunch of $25 Visa gift cards and probably another copy of Emily's book, because we're going to literally give those things away like candy.
Candy. Trick or treat.
Jesus God. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, for some EFG history. And when we come back,
Venom. We are Venom.
This week in epic film history.
You need to throw him a black cheeseburger from Burger King.
Dude, honestly.
And make him shit green.
That thing looks... Oh, I feel like I have to have that just because. Like, if I have enough of these beers one of these nights.
I downloaded a very, very special sound clip, JD, just for you today. Because this is what it's like for me. This is what goes in my head every time I come on your show and we're like actually in the middle of segments and stuff like that.
Okay.
Because I'm so used to being on this show where I got to deal with Justin's potty mouth all the time. So this is my brain. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
This is my brain whenever I'm on your show. This is what I got.
Don't say fuck. Don't say fuck. Don't say fuck.
First of all, I love that clip, and that is one of my favorite stand-up moments of all time. I love Louis Black.
I may just be hungry enough to drive to the Burger King down the street and get one of those black cheeseburgers that'll make my stomach
You better tell us about your green shit after you're done with it. I want to hear all about your nasty wet green shit.
I'll just post a picture of it on the Facebook page tomorrow for everyone to enjoy. They can like and comment what they think of the color, if it's green enough, and
you could just post it and tag it as the first official set photo from the new Spider-Man movie.
Ridley Scott, who will never stop changing his mind about what the hell he wants to do with the next Alien movie, now says that the follow-up to Covenant, which, oh, Jesus God, probably or may not even have aliens in it.
Yeah, I mean, and did you hear, Nick, that the next Avengers movie isn't going to have Avengers in it either? You know, it's the thing to do these days, you know? The next Batman movie, no Bruce Wayne, it's all about Alfred.
I would watch the shit out of that movie.
Yeah, me too, honestly.
Just like his day-to-day, like, after Batman leaves the mansion, he's just wandered around, like, pressing his suits and shit.
Exactly. Why has nobody made that movie yet?
Tonight, I am joined by composer, musician, and son of iconic film director John Carpenter, Cody Carpenter, to hang out and answer a few questions. If you were lucky enough, you may have seen Cody on stage this year while he was out on tour, playing a string of shows throughout the U.S. promoting Lost Themes 2, an album that both he and his dad collaborated on. Cody, I have to say it's a huge honor to have you on the show, and I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to chat with me.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
How did the first Lost Themes album come about? Was it a concept you and your dad had been planning on for a long time? Was it something you just kind of felt like out of nowhere, like, this is a great idea, why haven't we done this yet?
Well, it started when my dad, he got a new computer, and he got a really nice recording setup. He got a bunch of plugins and stuff. So I would go over to his house, and we'd go downstairs, and we'd just kind of mess around trying to figure out the program, and, you know, we were recording stuff. It was all kind of you know, improvisation and stuff like that.
Right.
So after we did a bunch of that, I went off to Japan. I lived there for a number of years for work. And so then my dad, you know, he sends me an email, and he's like, can you do a little bit more material? They're talking about releasing a CD. So I guess his music lawyer had asked him if he had any material he wanted to release. And so he sent the stuff that we had just been messing around with. So at that point, my dad brought in Daniel Davies, who is the third part of this whole thing. And they did some more material, and I did some more material from Japan. And they released it, and that's sort of how it came about.
Steppenwolf? What the actual fuck is Steppenwolf? Who knows what Steppenwolf is? Nobody who doesn't read comics. That's who. Like, yeah, we get it. He's like the Herald of Darkseid, whatever. That's perfectly fine and all that. But, like, seriously, that's your bad guy. Unless Darkseid shows up in, like toward the end of this movie, which, I mean, I think in that case, you'd be maybe putting a little bit too much into this, just like they did with Batman versus Superman. But fucking Steppenwolf? Steppenwolf. Steppenwolf.
I don't know much about Steppenwolf, but you make it sound like,
you know,
like
what you know about Steppenwolf? Born to be Wild, baby. That's what you know about Steppenwolf.
Very fair.
Justin, you're halfway through Blade Runner 2049 right now. How is your experience at the theater right now? How are things going? Anything? Or what do you think of the movie so far?
I sucked a dick.
That doesn't have anything to do with Blade Runner, Justin. This son of a bitch. Boy.
I told you I can bring actual real celebrities on our show. You know, Dustin Diamond, Robert Wolf possibly coming on.
Real celebrities, and then you say Dustin Diamond.
That's a real celebrity. Where have you been?
If you want to get him on the fucking show, go wake him up. I know he's on your couch right now, probably sleeping in a tattered fucking blanket with a torn up shirt. Like I said, he hangs out with the Hobster. I know that's what he's doing there. He's probably the one that dives into the dumpster and gets the double cheese out for the Hobster. He's probably the Hobster's bitch at this point.
Welcome back, and thanks for sticking with us on the Epic Film Guys podcast.
Are you like emphysema, Justin? Is that what's going on here?
The Epic Film Guys podcast.
Oh my god. Is that your Venom voice? Venom? Or, like, seriously, you sound like you just have emphysema and you're talking through, like, one of those holes in your throat.
That's how he sounded in the movie. Did you watch it? Oh, I forgot. You watched it in Vestal. He sounded like he smoked a pack of cigarettes a day in Dolby Atmos. No. We are going to be talking about Ruben Fleischer's Venom, which landed in theaters this last weekend, which people are seeing. It actually took the weekend. It's doing quite well, which is a little bit surprising. But, you know, I think it comes down to the fact that general audiences just don't give a fuck. They really don't.
Yep.
About number one, a lot of them don't care about critics. And number two, they don't care if people are hating on it because they're like, dude, whatever. And a lot of people had Columbus Day off today. So they're like, I'm going to go see Venom. But this movie is about Eddie Brock, played by the amazing Tom Hardy, who acquires the powers of a symbiote, as they call it in the movie. It's just symbiote, but okay, that's fine. Call it whatever you want. And he will have to deal with his alter ego, Venom,
Oh, good for you.
That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. We can get into details as you go ahead, but I mean, let's make it clear. You don't need much of a plot in this movie because there really isn't one.
There's not there's not a lot of plot to speak of in the film. There's not a lot of anything in the film, and yeah, this is happening.
Shut up! Shut up!
Wrong!
Now shut the fuck up and let me do my
job! Stop it, you wing, you baiting! Shut up!
So I have a feeling that my rating and Justin's rating are going to come entirely down to whether or not we were able to forgive the bad parts of the film enough to rate the good parts of the film well. I think that Justin and I will agree 100% about Hardy and his performance because... I'll be honest here. Hardy's the only thing worth watching in this movie. The first act of this film is fucking coma inducing. If there were rafters in the theater, I'd have hung myself. It's terrible. It's not even boring. It's unwatchably bad. It's god awful. And it drags on for a fucking eternity. This is like a 100-minute movie. It's like 100 minutes. And the opening of this movie is like...
Mouthfeel?
You're constantly like it's, I have never had that like urge, and I don't check my watch or check my phone or whatever during a movie, but I've never had that urge so strongly to like look at a watch and be like, how much time has gone by already? How much more fucking, like, how much longer is this going to take? You get constant shots back to Riz Ahmed, who may as well be fucking dialing in on a fucking payphone long distance into this thing. He's phoning in his fucking performance so fucking bad. He's god awful, legitimately horrible in this fucking movie. Poor Michelle Williams, who is effortlessly talented. She's not bad in the film. They just don't give her a whole lot to do, really. Hardy is exceptional. I cannot take that away from Hardy. He really tries to make something absolutely amazing out of this. He really tries, and you can really tell that Hardy brought his A game. The problem is nobody else did. Nobody else even brought their C game. And when Hardy is acting literal circles around everybody, it's so obvious and it's so evident. It takes me right out of the movie every time. And the biggest problem with this fucking movie, Justin, and I know you'll have things to say about it as well. The villain in this fucking movie, Riot, which you've seen the trailers, you know, there's another symbiote in it. We'll spoil it a little bit later, but I want to come back to the villain when we get to the end of the review, because he's got to be one of the worst villains in a film that we've seen in this genre ever.
Guess
literally
what?
Ever.
Guess what? I don't care. Guess you know why I don't care? Because they're all the same anyways. Almost every single one of these. There's Fair. Always like the, oh, you're Black Panther. I'm going to be the purple Black Panther and we're going to fight and it's going to be CGI mess. And it's going to look like a CGI mess. And this is what we get every movie anyway. Not every comic book movie can be Infinity War, so that does not count. You can't compare this to that. This is a movie about a character, ladies and gentlemen, called Venom. That's right. The character's name is Venom. He's a giant alien-looking thing with his tongue hanging out, and slime comes out, and he talks to his host the entire time. That's what the movie's about. So, just saying that. Not trying to cut it too much slack, but I'm just saying, I grew up loving this character. I grew up watching the original Fox Kids Spider-Man cartoon show. And I remember when the show first aired, Nick, in the opening of the show, the intro to the show, you saw Venom at the end. You hear him go with his tongue hanging out. And it was the Spider-Man logo would come up. I could not wait. I waited like a year and a half before they premiered the Venom saga, the symbiote saga, so I could see that character. He's one of my favorites. I had the figures. I had everything. Whatever. Flash forward to Spider-Man 3. We all know how we felt about that one. Okay. Even though, I'm going to be honest here, Topher Grace's portrayal and how the character is written in Spider-Man 3 is actually way more accurate to what Eddie Brock, who he is as a character, than Tom Hardy's interpretation. But, like, I liked the idea of a Venom movie. I would have liked it even more, like, 5 years ago. I'm in fatigue from these movies. I've made it clear on the show.
Yeah.
So... There's things in this movie that 5 years ago I would be jumping on and pissing on and trying to burn to death. But at the same time, I get it now. It's like, oh, bad guy has to be the same thing as the good guy, just bigger and stronger, and he has to fight him at the end. And so, like, to me, like, that shit doesn't really matter as much anymore because I don't really expect anything more out of it. I guess it's just my expectations. But I'm going to tell you honestly, Riz Ahmed, I feel so bad because I've loved everything I've seen him
in. I've seen him in some really good stuff, yeah.
Dude, I just look back to Nightcrawler as being, yeah, like, one of the first things I saw him in, and he's a brilliant actor.
Yeah.
Amazing actor. I mean, I love the guy. And to see him, like, I don't know if it was the direction, and I'm not trying to place blame elsewhere, but he is legitimately boring. Like,
his line delivery is so flat in this film. Now,
he plays Carlton Drake, who is a genius inventor and leader of the Life Foundation, and it sounds like his whole plan is that he wants to try to figure out a way for humans to live somewhere else, but he doesn't really name where else. Just like he just points to the sky. Like,
you know what? One of the biggest mistakes this film makes. One of the biggest mistakes that this film makes is it names the villainous organization in the film the Life Foundation, which instantly reminds us of another Sony film that came out, like, what was it, last year?
You know why that is, though. They're trying to loosely connect because that rumor.
But like I said, that's
what they're trying to do.
All it does to me is just remind me of a much better movie, like, the whole time I'm seeing it. And I'm like, if you would have directly tied them together, it would have been like, if they would have opened with, like, the closing shot of that movie, and, like, all of a sudden they were just like, oh yeah, this was a Venom prequel all along, that would have been great. I would have loved that.
But instead, it was an afterthought, and they just shoved it in there after the fact. You know, I'm going to be honest with you, Nick, and I know where we're going to go in this review, but I just want to say it at the forefront of this. I'm actually really interested, and I'm hoping that they do release an extended, like, the cut of the movie that they didn't give us in theaters.
I think we'll get it. I definitely think we'll get it.
And I hope it's the R-rated movie, because I'm going to be honest here. This movie isn't half as neutered as I thought it was going to be. Make no mistake, it's nowhere near being an R. But you do hear shit like every other word in it, which kind of gets a little old after a while. I mean, you hear them say the word shit a lot. You hear Artie drop one F-bomb. And there is some violence to be had, and there are some scarier moments in it. So it does have a little bit, like a tiny little bit of that science fiction horror feel and vibe to it in some scenes that I liked. I mean, you have the symbiote, you know, attaching itself to a little girl. And there's a scene where the Asian girl that's from the shuttle crash, she gets the symbiote attached to her. And then she goes into like a Asian market. And like, she kills a bunch of people. So like, the idea was there. You see kind of a glimpse of what the movie could have been. It is frustrating. It really is, because I'm like, sure, when I see Venom taking out, you know, SWAT guys, I want to see blood splattering and seeing heads ripped off and everything. That's really what I want to see. But at the same time, it didn't really necessarily, like, keep me from enjoying those parts to an extent.
I want to talk about Riot right now, because I agree with you to an extent that I don't go into these films expecting much more than a cookie cutter, carbon copy villain who is given, like, the minimal amount of screen time. My problem with Riot in this film isn't so much that he's just a super generic superhero movie bad guy. My problem is the script of this film literally sidelines the character until the plot requires him. The shuttle crashes on Earth at the beginning of the film. This is not a surprise. You've seen the trailers. And Riot escapes. The one symbiote escapes. And he stays... Immediately at the beginning of the film, he picks up a patch from the Life Foundation. He knows he wants to go to San Francisco to get to the Life Foundation. And he stays in Malaysia for no reason. And there's a whole, all this shit, you get all this character backstory with Hardy's character, all this different stuff. And then it flashes forward 6 months later, Riot's still in Malaysia for no reason. Why? If your whole job, all you wanted to do was get to the Life Foundation, what the fuck were you doing all this time? What? It's maddening. Maddening. I can't even begin to tell you how frustrated I am with the writing in this
You're probably the only person that thought of that. Like,
it's so fucking aggravating. Like, that to me, it's not just that you made him a generic villain, but it's that you literally, intentionally, in the script, sidelined him until you needed him to be part of the plot. That is infuriating to me. Don't purposely just leave him in Malaysia and forget about him until you need him later. Like, that's just infuriating to me. It's just bad writing. It's piss.
I would have preferred if they had kept him in a jar or whatever. You know what I mean? Maybe that. Maybe he got out and start affecting people halfway through the movie.
Well, you know, he
and, then,
could have,
and then he came
he
back.
He could have come over and infected Riz Ahmed's character like it was supposed to. And, like, you never knew. Like we as the audience would know, but, like, Hardy's Brock doesn't know or whatever. And, like, he's continually more and more evil and he's killing people and he's doing all these different stuff and whatever. I think that would have been a more compelling angle to attack it from rather than legitimately. And there's another big problem I had with this movie, and Duty from Shaken Not Nerd actually messaged me the other day on Facebook because he fucking hated this movie too. And he actually brought this up to me, but I had a huge problem with it as well. There's an issue with the symbiotes taking hosts in the film. There's an issue because unless it's the right host, they are basically eating the hosts kind of from the inside out.
Yeah. And the host dies. Yeah.
Unless you're Riot, who randomly takes over some lady, and then some old lady, and then some little girl, and then Riz Ahmed's character with no, like, compatibility issues whatsoever. So the rules for that compatibility for symbiotes, really,
there's a line. There's a line in
there.
There's a line, though.
The screenwriter, really, they were.
I just say there's a line in there that Venom speaks to Brock at the end. Something about he has shit like you've never seen, and like the way he kept mentioning. And maybe this was left out, you know, in the final cut. But it seemed like they were trying to go. He's like the king. He's the number one. He's the top dog. So maybe he has the ability to just bond with whatever and take them over. That's the way that I looked at it. Like, that didn't bother me at all. So
yeah, I didn't get that aspect of it at all. I didn't take that away from it. But of all the negatives I have of this film, I still have even more. Like, I hated the action of this film. I think it was mostly murky, fast cut, and unwatchable. Like, it cuts way too quickly.
No. The scene where the SWAT team comes in and they try to get him in his apartment, I thought was very well done.
The action sequence in the apartment, I think, was well done. And I liked the action sequence at the newspaper building that he worked at, or the news media building or whatever that he worked at, with the gas grenades. And then you had, like, you know, he was attacking people in the gas and stuff like that. And it was kind of a nice horror moment. Like, I liked those aspects of it. Those, I think, were good. The rest of the action sequences, especially the finale, garbage. Utter.
The finale.
Unwatchable.
Oh, yeah. The finale wasn't good.
The finale was terrible.
But tell me, you didn't like the motorcycle chase sequence? I thought it was very well done.
I think it was fine. But I just don't think it was as good as, like, that battle. And, like I said, with the smoke and with the gas grenades and stuff, and, like, with his tentacles, and you just hear screaming and stuff, and you just see people getting whooshed away, disappearing in the smoke. Like, that to me was really effective.
Well,
you
see
less.
I liked that scene, but yeah. At the same time, that was the one scene that, for me being the horror fan, me being like, oh man, I wish that R rating was in place for this, because then you would have seen way worse.
Yeah.
Way, way worse. I get it. I really did like the motorcycle chase sequence. I thought it was thrilling. I thought it was exciting. And I thought it was very energetic, the way it was shot, the way it was edited. And I really liked all the stuff with, you know, him on the bike. And then, you know, the symbiote actually, like, reaching out and, like, helping him turn around corners quicker and helping him in the air to jump over stuff. And there's a lot of practical stunt work and practical crashes and stuff in there. And I loved that sequence. Not going to bullshit. I was just in San Francisco a year ago, and watching actual stunts, like actual car stunts going up and down those hills, while Hardy's, well, for the most part, Hardy's not on the motorcycle for real, but I loved that chase sequence a lot. Like, for me, again, I went into this, and it wasn't that I was letting my guard down. I literally wasn't expecting anything from this, hearing what I heard. So seeing some well stuff done in there, you know, intertwined with, and I'm going to say this, you probably hated this scene. I thought it was fucking hilarious, and I laughed my ass off. When Michelle Williams' character, Anne, is having lunch with her new doctor boyfriend at, like, a very expensive restaurant, It reminded me of Ghostbusters 2, when Brock comes in and he's like, he's still dealing with that, like, he's half and half. He's dealing with Venom, like, affecting him. Dude, he's walking up to people, he's eating their food and from spitting it all over. He gets in the lobster tank.
Yep.
He grabs a live lobster, rips it off, and he just lays in the lobster. I was like, dude, this is the best thing ever. It's so stupid.
This is where, for me, the biggest problem comes with this movie, because, number one, I love Hardy as Brock in this film. Again, Hardy is really acting his ass off in this film. Hardy really, really had a vision for this character.
He cared.
He cared a lot. The problem is, nobody else around him does, really. And it's evident, just because you can see, especially the bad guy characters, are all phoning it in so hard in this film. But Hardy's acting his ass off, and the interplay between Brock and Venom, like that duality in the second act, when they're just going back and forth with each other and like they're kind of fleshing out their relationship, that's great. That's the best part of this film by far to me, is just their interplay as two different characters. It's amazing, and kind of learning to become that one cohesive character.
I gotta be honest, dude, that was one of my favorite things about it. And I feel like that was one of the aspects I could have done with a lot more of, because I thought, I loved the back and forth. I thought they nailed that, like, you know, the discussions between the two while they're in scenes with other people. Like, they really got that pretty good, where there's other characters, they're talking, they're communicating with Brock, but Brock's trying to communicate with Venom at the same time.
Yeah.
I thought that was very well done. I think that for the most part was one of the most entertaining aspects of the movie, because that's what I want. And I loved the duality, him battling back and forth, and how the relationship does change. It does develop throughout the film, though a little bit too quick for me. I thought that was good. And again, let's get to this right now. This is very important for this movie. Venom looked like Venom. Venom sounded like Venom. They nailed the character of Venom. When he's like full-fledged Venom.
Yeah, I didn't have any problem with the actual character himself.
I loved it. I was fine with it. So for me, I'm like, you know, he's the green slime's not coming out all over. I saw a little spittle on his lip. I saw some spittle. And I was like, all right, get it. A little spittle. I'm not going to get the full green slime coming out of his mouth or anything.
I think, and I want to wrap up on this because I don't have much else to say about it. I did not have a good experience. I did not have Justin's experience with this film. I can't forgive the things that Justin can forgive to get to a positive rating on this film. That's me. I'm giving this movie a 3 out of 10. I fucking hated the movie. The second act is as great as Hardy is as Venom, as great as Hardy is as Brock, and you know, that duality between the two characters, as much as I enjoyed that, as much as I enjoyed some of those second act action scenes, it doesn't forgive the atrocious, and I mean god-awful atrocious writing in the first act. And just Riot is legitimately, I know we get bad villains in superhero movies anyway, I get it, but he was on a fucking, he's like an upper echelon unto himself of just terrible, 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 terrible. So I, 3 out of 10, I cannot recommend the fucking film. I hated it. It was not in any way, shape, or form an entertaining experience for me whatsoever.
I know it's not a good movie. I know it's not even close to being a good movie, but there were enough elements in this movie that entertained me, that I had a lot of fun with, that I can forgive it. This is not something that I feel like I'm going to go out and watch again tomorrow. I'm not excited to see it again. I think there was enough here. I saw all the good things that shined out that were supposed to be part of the original vision. I want to make this clear. I don't think the original script, regardless if it was R-rated or longer, was good in the first place. I don't think it was good. That guy runs the Life Foundation, and I want to use symbiotes so we can go fly into space and live. I'm trying to say it the right fucking way, Nick. Listen, God damn it. He's not going to change my way of saying it right.
We didn't mention that. That's a good. The plot of this movie is dumb as fucking hell. It's so fucking dumb.
That's why I'm bringing it up. So the plot of the story is dumb to begin with. Okay.
Yeah.
This is not your Spider-Man Venom. He does not have the spider on his chest. He does not use webbing out of his hand to web sling. Okay. There's changes made in the first place. For me, I knew all that going in. I knew it was getting like completely shit on by everybody. So when I sat down to watch it, I was pleasantly surprised that I enjoyed quite a bit of the decent aspects of the movie. I'm giving Venom my lowest recommendation rating, which is a 6 out of 10. I think some people will have a lot of fun with it. Our good friend and kaiju expert Robert Reynell loved it.
Yeah, I know he did.
And he really enjoyed it. And I know 5 or 6 other people that have actually come out on our Instagram and talk to me about it on there, and they really enjoyed it. And I understand why people enjoyed it, because on a surface level, for the piece of shit that it is, and I'm calling it that, I'm admitting that it is that, but I like a lot of bad movies, and I admit to liking a lot of bad movies, and I don't care.
Well, here's
I am very interested to see what will happen in a sequel.
Yep. Without spoiling the mid-credit sequence, because I don't want to spoil the mid-credit for people who haven't seen it, but does that casting excite you for a sequel?
Oh, of course.
Because I hated this movie. Of course.
Just get rid of... Well, the Loisos turns to me and he looked at me and I was like, I was so pumped from that. He's like, he's wearing a Ronald McDonald wig.
God, fuck you, Loisos.
I was like, I don't care. I just seeing him, that scene was awesome. Dude.
God damn it. All right, well, and this is going to be, you didn't get a chance to see this movie, Justin, which I cannot begin to tell you how much that breaks my heart that you have not gotten to a theater to see this. You need to see this because I guarantee right now this will be in my top five of the end of the year, if not like number one or number two. It's that fucking good. I had a chance not once, but twice to see Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born this past weekend. I'm going to try not to get like, even like thinking about the movie makes me emotional. This is how much this movie has affected me. First things first, this is the fourth remake of this movie. We've seen four different versions of this same exact story now. So I'm going to spoil a couple different things about it. I'm not going to spoil like the ultimate, like where it ends up at the end. I feel like that's something you have to see for yourself regardless. But again, the first of these movies, I think, was made in 1937. So it's a story that's been around for a very, very long time. This time, Bradley Cooper stepping into the director's chair, directing himself and Lady Gaga. And he is kind of this faded hybrid rock / country star who has tinnitus and is an alcoholic and a drug addict. And he's kind of in like the twilight of his career, and he's kind of starting to fade a little bit. And he meets Lady Gaga's character, whose name is Allie. And Andrew Dice Clay is in this fucking movie, and he's amazing. I can't say this enough out of the gate. Bradley Cooper is on my shortlist for best director this year because of this movie. I called it, when I walked out of the theater the first time I saw this movie, I called it fearless. He has energy. His camera has so much energy to it when it needs to. But then he's a director, Justin, that's not afraid to linger on longer shots, to really linger on his characters, holds that camera shot and lets the performance come out of that character and lets the characters just be there in that kind of moment on the screen. A lot of directors are cut, too many cuts. And Cooper, I don't think, has that problem. Cooper doesn't have that need to get in there and just snip, cut things up. So I think his direction is fantastic. He disappears into his role as Jackson Maine. Sam Elliott plays his brother in the movie. So Bradley Cooper kind of takes on almost like a Sam Elliott-ish kind of gravelly voice. And I mean, legitimately, Cooper disappears into the role. Like, he's unrecognizable to me. And it's Bradley Cooper, and he's very fucking recognizable. And Lady Gaga in this fucking movie is a revelation. He says at one point in the film, he calls her voice the thing of angels. He's correct. I love listening to her sing. Every time I listen to her sing, it kind of makes the hair stands up on the back of my head. So there's any number of points during this film when I legitimately just kind of fucking melt into pieces. And I think what this film does most effectively is it stays centered on the relationship between these two characters. And you really feel like you're just kind of another person that's living that relationship along with them. And you go through their highs with them and you go through their lows with them. And have you ever seen a film, Justin, where you're so invested in the characters by the end of it, you know, you're so invested in it that when characters are making decisions on screen, you almost want to stand up and shout at them and yell.
Most definitely. Yeah. Most definitely.
I was still like that the second time I watched this movie. Like, I'm watching it the second time and I'm like actively in my chair wanting it to not turn out the way it turns out the first time I saw it. And I mean, it's heartbreaking. I legitimately like probably sobbed for like the last 20 minutes of it when I watched it the second time, especially because like I know everything that's going to happen. And It's brilliant. I can't say enough good things about this movie. Everything about it, the music is amazing. I don't even like country music, and I was digging like the kind of hybrid rock / country or pop country songs that they did for it. The songs that Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper and Lucas Nelson wrote for the film are incredible. There's some absolutely just incredibly moving pieces that they wrote for the film. I'm going to do it 10 out of 10. I was fucking blown away by this movie.
No way.
Blown the fuck away by it. And I will say that with the caveat, the script for this movie, not the best. The way that they meet is super contrived. Doesn't make any sense. It doesn't need to happen the way that it happens because it's like, well, wait a minute. Why does this happen? And it doesn't matter because it straps you in and it takes you on that ride. And you're just so invested in them as characters and so invested in them as a couple. And that's 100% a testament again to their performances. And like I said, Cooper's direction. Cooper has a fucking future as a director. He's just perfect. Every frame, every single fucking frame. I adore this movie. I adore it. I adore it. I adore the soundtrack for this fucking movie. I can't stop listening to it.
I gotta ask you, is this movie this year's La La Land for you?
Better. Because I didn't give La La Land a 10 out of 10, I don't think. I think I gave it like a 9. I think I gave it a 9. I love La La Land too. You know I do. But this, like I said, it's just, they both have a way of just disappearing, like just utterly disappearing into their roles. And it's just so investing. I can't even begin to describe it. Get out to a fucking theater and see this movie. It's amazing. It's legitimately amazing. And like I said, I've been a fucking like emotional basket case. Every time I think about the movie, I want to fucking cry. Like, it just makes me sad, but it also makes me happy because it's so fucking good. So fucking good. There it is. A Star Is Born. Please see it. Please go see it. You will not be disappointed.
I'll rent it in Redbox.
Get the fuck out.
Just kidding. No, I plan on seeing it. Like I said, today, the wife was working. I was not. So I took the chance and saw Venom instead because I knew we were talking about it tonight. But I promised her I would not see it without her because I'm trying to be a good husband and she does want to see it. So I will try to make my way to see it this week.
I went to see it a second time just to take the wife. But that's because I have AMC Stubbs A-list and I get 3 movies
a week.
You
damn well better take the wife to see that movie. That looks like the kind of movie she'd really enjoy.
She enjoyed it
more. Out of that movie.
She really, really enjoyed it. It's just, I mean, look, I'm not kidding. Literally from the beginning to the end, I was just fucking transfixed. It was like legitimate magic spilling off of the fucking screen every single frame. You'll watch this movie and you'll swear to God, like, Bradley Cooper could just quit this whole acting thing any fucking time and just go be like a rock/country star. He could. He legit could. He's fucking good, dude. He sings fucking great. He can play guitar, you know? And I mean, Gaga, I mean, of course, we know, like, she and Cooper and like I said, Lucas Nelson, who's the son of Willie Nelson, and his band, Lucas Nelson's band, is Bradley Cooper's band in the film.
Nice. That's awesome.
So, like, you know, but they're up there playing real instruments. They're writing all the music, like, all the music was written for this fucking film, except for the first song that Lady Gaga's character sings is La Vie en Rose, Edith Piaf's song. But even still, like, it's, dude, I cannot.
I'll see it.
Cannot
I'll
emphasize
see
it enough.
And I'll make sure to mention it next week. I have see to it. See it now.
I'm Everybody out there, if you're listening to it.
Tons of other horror movies please to see. Maniac, it. 4K Restoration tomorrow night, and then Dismember the Alamo this weekend. I will find a place and a time to see that. But thank you so much for your thoughts on that. It makes me even more hyped to see it. But that's it, ladies and gentlemen, for our review portion of the show. I just wanted to come out and real quick at the end of the show, thank the entire Fred Heads team from Fred Heads, a documentary about the fandom of Freddy Krueger and A Nightmare on Elm Street, for coming out to Alamo Drafthouse Ashburn on Saturday for a special screening of A Nightmare on Elm Street for the Dream Master. Nick, I got to tell you, I sent you the video of the Freddy Krueger cosplayer giving some love for Epic Film Guys. But this event was the coolest thing that I think I've been a part of there so far. The vibe in that theater was so happy and positive. Everyone was there for a collective passion for this series and just to have fun with friends and peers. And it was just a great time. We had a professional Freddy cosplayer come out with the Fred Heads team. He nailed the voice, the look. And I have a brief little story, which is pretty funny. He was going out, walking around. People were not expecting him to be there, walking around the bar. People were taking selfies and pictures. And there's a little movie at the theaters right now called Smallfoot, an animated feature. And he was going to the exits of those theaters while children were leaving. And standing there is Freddy, ha, 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 Freddy's here. And you know, and scaring them. And it was like after 10 o'clock, and he's walking around, and a woman leaves with her four-year-old from seeing that movie, and he does like a little Freddy laugh, ha, 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 and he does the claw, and the kid shrieked. The kid shrieked, terrified. This kid, like, it was like he saw Satan, and he would not stop shrieking. And the mother was pissed. She was yelling at Paige from the Fred Heads team. She was yelling at a bunch of people. Then Loy Sauce went over to try to calm her down. And then we were all kind of like, lady, why do you have your four-year-old in a theater at 10 p.m. at night anyways? You shouldn't even be here.
Daddy's so going to spank you with the belt now.
We shamed her basically into leaving and stopped complaining because it's like, I feel bad for the kid. The kid's never going to forget that. He probably is going to have some nightmares of Freddy, but that's kind of a good thing. That's natural. You're supposed to have nightmares of Freddy. But it was a little weird being there and trying to have fun and drink a beer and like the kid shrieking and wailing. But I just had to give major props to the Fredheads team. If you have not yet checked out their information on social media, Fredheads Doc on Instagram and on Facebook. I may or may not be doing some videos for them shortly, but I just wanted to give the heads up there. They're amping up right now to release their first official trailer. I have a rumor swirling that it may be released from a major outlet, so I'm really excited for those guys. Thank you, Paige. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Jeremy Todd Moorhead. Once again, everybody else from the Fredheads team for coming out. And of course, Soy Sauce for putting on. It was a great event. So thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you all out there very, very much for listening. As I mentioned earlier, we have crossed the threshold, Justin, triple digits, baby. 100 Apple Podcast reviews. We are still on the road to 125 by the end of the year. 125. Again, you can win $25 Visa gift cards. You can win copies of The Story Behind, Emily's book, which will be coming out, I believe, in just over a week. And tons of other awesome, awesome prizes. We've got a literal flood, and I mean a literal flood, Justin, of content headed your way. Again, today, recording day, Nosferatu Spotlight with Work, Life, and Balance and Invasion of the Remake. On the 22nd, Justin, we've got The Exorcist with Two Girls on a Bench, who, congratulations to them, just won People's Choice at the 2018 Podcast Awards.
Awesome.
Absolutely amazing. And we absolutely love them. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4 more spotlights coming your way in the Harry Potter saga. Those are going to be dropping on the 29th of October all the way up to the 19th, I believe, of November. And we're also going to be recording for Overlord, Justin, in November with the girls from Boozy Movies, Hannah.
That looks
and Julia.
Like so much fun. I can't wait to watch that movie.
I can't
movie.
Wait
I'm
to
not,
check
not
out the movie.
I can't
and
wait. Looks like a lot of fun.
I can't wait to record with Hannah and Julia because they're amazing. It's going to be a lot of fun. And tons of other stuff coming through the end of the year. There's an Orson Welles movie coming out yet this year. There's a documentary about Orson Welles coming out yet this year. So many things in the Oscar race, Justin. And that's what A Star Is Born really kind of amped me up for, was Oscar season. I know we're still in the throes of horror season. We're watching those horror movies. We're getting scared. But
we're getting the best of both worlds here. You're getting the best of your world. I'm getting the best
exactly.
of my world. There, we're
and
there.
Just next week, again, Dina Marie of Twisted Philly will be here for First Man. And then, ladies and gentlemen, 2 weeks from release of this show, Halloween. Justin's already seen it. By the time we see it, he's going to be like, I don't even care. I don't even want to
talk
about it anymore.
The sauce has seen it. I saw it. And I can't wait to see it again. I have my tickets for Thursday night to see it again.
Yep,
and
I've
I'll
already
probably,
got my ticket for opening night as well.
I may even see it, Nick, a third time before we talk about it. I'm really excited to see it again. Ding, 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 ding.
Halloween.
Coming on the 25th of October. We've got so much, and I mean legitimately mean this, so much goddamn content that we're squeezing out between now and probably Thanksgiving. It's going to be just insane. Check out, please, over on Twitter, at AllTheHorror18, hashtag AllTheHorror. Check out the collaborations that we and dozens of other podcasters are doing, like I said, including that Nosferatu episode. That was so much fucking fun to record. We had an absolute blast recording that. And if you have not listened to it, please, please, please go check it out. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all very, very much for listening. You guys are literally wonderful. We love you so, so much. For myself, for Justin, for the god of podcasting who is not here tonight. He's probably getting yelled at by some mom in the theater.
You're not my dad.
No, mom. Justin, not dad. Mom.
I make sure to eat your yummy mummy cereal. It's a yummy mummy. Got a yummy in my tummy. I'm on the show again. Hey. Hey, you fucking asshole. I used to be a star. I'm a star again on the Epic Film Guys podcast.
We have determined that the Hopester was the yummy mummy guy. And then he fell from grace when the cereal tanked. I mean, must be they didn't want some fucking booze hound hocking their cereal for him or some. I don't know. I don't know what it was. I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate so, so much you listening. Thank you all so, so very much. And until next time, we will see you
at the movies.
Daddy's gonna spank you with the belt now.